Blog Talk Radio.
How to be a survivor to another restoration. This is Lori Ann Smith. I'm glad to be here. Good morning. It's 7 o'clock here in the morning, August the 7th, 2017, Monday morning. It's a civic holiday here. I'm actually on a holiday today, not working, but I got up and did the show anyway just because I had it scheduled, and I like to stay on my schedule here. So I'm up bright and early, and glad to be here. This is just a morning reflection, really, for me. Survivor of abuse just kind of keeps me on my healing journey. And so I like doing these shows because it shows me what I need to work on and what I, you know, so I don't drop the ball and just let things go for, you know, 6 months or a year or whatever. So I like doing these shows, and I hope they're helping somebody else out there too. And, yeah, Monday morning, bright and squirrely. I'm just having coffee. I've been up for quite a while, actually, so, but I still haven't quite woken up yet, so you'll have to bear with me here. And, so, yeah, this is just a morning reflection. If you're a survivor of abuse, you have to listen very carefully. Make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. If you're just starting your healing journey out and you're just not sure, you know, whether this is going to trigger you or bother you and make, you know, cause you to have a horrible day, you know, because survivors of abuse, you know, we quite often are triggered by other, you know, survivors' stories and information about abuse. So if you're just starting your healing journey, you're not sure, and you're not sure if you're safe enough, really, you need to get that information. You can get it at lots of places, but HAVOCA has a safety section, and that's HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA, HAVOCA.org, or you can go to ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program. I say this on every show, but it's very important, because this is so important. You don't want to be triggered. You don't want to go backward in your healing journey. You don't want to have a miserable day, self-injure, or hurt somebody else. You just really don't want to do that. So you have to listen at your own discretion. If you're not sure you're safe enough to be listening, get that information. Go to some website that has some good information and read it and make sure that you understand how to know whether you're safe enough to be listening and what you can do to help yourself if you are triggered, right? Very important. And everybody else, you have to listen at your own discretion because I'm talking about abuse. Abuse is a very sensitive topic. You have to know what's good for you to listen to. You have to make that decision ultimately for yourself. So if you think the topics of abuse or anything like that's going to bother you, then you just make the right decision for yourself, right? Just turn the show off. You guys won't be hurting my feelings at all. And so we'll get right into this. We're looking at, we just finished up with a feeling section from HAVOCA on Friday. And I had a friend of mine, Mike, come on the air, which was really awesome. And because I used to take callers all the time, but then I had so many trolls coming on my show, making fun of the show. And actually they would start out telling some sort of a fake story about abuse, and then they would turn it into some sort of garbage joke. And I was like, this is not a joke, buddy. This is my healing journey. This is a very serious issue. I mean, survivors of abuse, it's not a joke. So I just stopped taking callers. I was like, okay. After so many of those trolls came on my show, I was like, that's it. You know, I blocked them, but it's kind of like, you know, I thought, no, I take this very seriously. This is my healing journey. This the abuse that we suffered killed two of my brothers. They killed themselves, but actually I know what killed them. Because we all grew up in the same house, right? Same home with the same abuser parents. One of my sisters was suicidal, had a miserable life, really. Two of my brothers, like I said, killed themselves. One was suicide, one was drug overdose, but which was really a suicide. And then the rest of us just floundered, you know, because of the abuse. This is a very serious issue. I'm talking about serious stuff, so I'm not interested in what trolls have to say. So if you want to be on the show, you have to let me know ahead of time You have to get a hold of me on Facebook or somewhere, and let me know you're serious and that you do, if you want to come on the show. I really don't. I like to have guests on the show, and I'll even schedule a longer show for something like that. You know, I just keep this show to a half an hour because it's me doing a monologue, just talking, right? But if there's someone who does want to come on the show, I mean, I'll schedule a longer show. We can really have time to chat and talk and discuss these very important things. You know, this is so important. So let me know ahead of time. You know, get a hold of me on Facebook, whatever. You can find all my links on my show page here. On, if you look up at the top right-hand corner of your page where my information, my show information is, you'll see a bunch of little buttons. And one is a link to my Facebook. One's a link to Twitter, I think. One's a link to my website, Born in Hell. And there's some other links there, too. So just you can check those links out. You can get a hold of me in many, many different ways, all over the place, actually, if you're really serious and you want to come on the show. So it was nice. I had my friend Mike here, and that was awesome. And this morning we're looking at a different section. I want to look at this particular section called Anger from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. Under their Information for Survivors tab, I did pop this into the chat room. It's their anger information. I did a whole series of these shows years ago, probably 2010, 2011, somewhere in 2012, a long time ago, from Dave Decker and Mike Obsatz. That's the guys, angerresources.com. They have some great information there, Anger Resources. Just type in Anger Resources, Dave Decker, or Mike Obsatz, and it'll come up. And there's a whole ton of good information there. We did a series of months of shows looking at that because I really needed help with my anger issues and internalized anger. So I was really glad to get that information and work through a lot of my anger issues, which I have done. I still have some, not at all like I used to, but I think it's important to cover this. And so that's why I'm looking at this particular section here this morning and just want to briefly discuss anger. It's not a very long section, but it's long enough. We'll be on this for a while. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And, you know, I can just, you know, I just sort of check in, you know, see where am I at, how am I doing this morning, how am I feeling this morning, any particular things I want to work on. I actually feel pretty good. I was a little triggered by a post that I saw yesterday, actually. No, it was the day before. Yesterday was Sunday. On Saturday, on the a headline of a girl who had been murdered. She was raped and murdered. She was suffocated to death while she was being raped. And it just brought me back to my own surviving CSA child sexual abuse, because I was raped as a child and incest rape. And I was suffocated as well, but I made it and I survived, right? So that really triggered me. I seriously had to take some time yesterday. I was actually busy yesterday with my husband as well, out running around, getting some fresh air and sunshine, which was great. Spending some time with him, quality time, which was great. But otherwise, I was kind of triggered, you know, by that post. And so I've had to kind of do some, you know, looking in to see what's going on with how am I feeling, how am I doing. Instead of just shoving it down, I got to deal with those feelings and deal with that trauma from that abuse. And, you know, really horrific. These are the things that can happen, right? But I'm much better off now than I used to be, because that would have sent me over the edge years ago. Now I can deal with it because I've got things in place, you know, which is really important. But this is the kind of stuff that can happen, you know. Just never know when we're going to see something that's going to trigger us, right, or hear something, or any sort of memory can come up, or calendar date, or things on the calendar, anniversaries, just things like that. It's very that's why you have to be careful and know how to cope. You know, get some grounding techniques, get some coping mechanisms in place. We're going to look at some of those later on, too. So we'll get started with this anger article here from HAVOCA.org. Anger, they said, although many adult survivors believe otherwise, anger can be used as either a weapon or a tool. And most of us experienced anger when it was used as a weapon in the form of abuse, for instance, yelling, hitting, threatening, overpowering. As child victims of this anger, we may learn to perceive anger as dangerous and bad, something we should not express ever because we might hurt someone with it. Or we may learn that anger is a weapon we can use to keep people from hurting us, right? By hurting them first. And the former results in depression and a variety of self-destructive behaviors, such as self-sabotage, self-mutilation, and eating disorders. That's the one where we may learn to perceive anger as dangerous and bad, something we should not express, right? So stuffing the anger. And then the latter one, they said, results in using our anger to distance ourselves from others and or becoming abusers ourselves. So this is very interesting. This is a, you know, there's a lot in that little piece right there. So I thought we'd just stop right there because, I mean, you can keep going. But this is right here a lot of to think about and to deal with, you know. Anger can be used as a weapon or a tool. It's very true. Because anger, we need anger. Anger is actually an appropriate response to some things. It's how we manage that and how we use it. It's like a tool. And we have to be careful with anger. That's why anger can be used for a weapon or a tool. So it's very true. And survivors of abuse, I mean, yeah. Anger, for especially for survivors of abuse of any kind of you know, physical abuse, CSA child sexual abuse, any, you know, even verbal abuse, verbal assaults, you know, doesn't have to be some form of physical abuse. It could be verbal assaults, you know, even psychological, emotional assaults. You know, this stuff is really horrible, but when it's coming from a place of anger, obviously, I mean, it's horrific, right? Can come in the form of abuse, like yelling, hitting, threatening, overpowering. And as a child, as a victim, you know, of this, right? I'm a survivor of physical abuse from my parents, right? Both my mom and my dad. My mom was my main abuser, but my dad abused me as well. And all of the siblings, not just me. I mean, both of my parents abused all of their siblings in, you know, throughout the years, which was really, they had a lot of years to practice. By the time they got to me, I was the last born. They were really well, they were really good at it. You know, they knew what they were doing and they had it all perfected by the time I came around. It's like, oh yeah, we know how to hurt you. And so they did. So as a child, a victim of this, right, I could learn to perceive anger as dangerous and bad, something we should not express. That's very true. I know even when my parents were fighting, their anger towards each other used to cause me to go over the edge just because I was never sure who was going to, you know, how badly my mom was going to get hurt or if my mom was going to kill my dad, you know, in some sort of retaliation thing, or, you know, who was going to kill who, right? And that used to bother me when they used to fight. Of course it did. And it caused a lot of serious, I would want to call it tics that I had, a lot of nervous tics because of my parents fighting all the time, which then people made fun of and treated me really poorly, like kind of bullied me and made fun of me as a really young child because of those tics, right? And instead of holding me and loving me and taking care of me and trying to help console me because of the issues that were going on, my older siblings just made fun of me and hurt me and actually beat me up because I had these nervous tics, especially my sister, who was 5 years older than me. She used to pound on me because I had all these nervous tics from the abuse, from being abused, and also from watching my parents fight and hearing them fight and scream and rage at each other and throw things and bust each other and hurt each other. That my older sister, of course, she was being abused too, so it's no wonder that she made the decision that she did. But she would always just pound me when I'd start doing these nervous tic things, and I kept some of those nervous tic things with me through my early teens, like probably till around 11 or 12. And that's horrific, you know. I paid dearly for the abuse that my parents caused me, and my siblings just kind of reinforced it, you know. This is, you know, I never got support, never, and I still haven't got any support from them. That's why I cut my family off. You know, people would say, well, you're a little crass, you know, you're not, you know, maybe they'd judge me as being not the very nicest person, but actually, no, I did the right thing because my siblings were never there for me. They never, even later in life, you know, they'd do a few things for me, and then they'd expect me to just think that they're the greatest thing in the whole world because they did something for me. And it's like, no, you were never there for me when I really needed you. You just beat on me and pounded on me too, or made fun of me. So you don't belong in my life. You don't deserve to be in my life. People that aren't going to treat me with dignity and respect are not welcome in my life. And I boot them out really quickly. As soon as somebody's disrespectful or treats me with no dignity and no respect, it's like, you're gone. You know, I just don't tolerate it anymore. As an adult, I can choose, you know, who I want to be in my life. And I'm very particular who I let in my life. Right. And I think that's very important. So what they said here, I mean, it's really true. This stuff is so damaging, you know. I mean, as far as, you know, the former results in depression and ever stuffing the anger, right? Not dealing with it, thinking that it's bad, so then you stuff it because it's, you can't express it. It's not something we should express because of the anger and the trauma that we suffered as children as a result of someone else's anger. we see that it's damaging. So then all of a sudden we stuff it, thinking, oh, I can't allow myself to feel any of that sort of, you know, anger issue stuff because it's destructive, it's damaging. So then what that does is cause many survivors to then self-sabotage, self-destructive behaviors, right? Depression, because we're stuffing it, not allowing ourselves to deal with it. That's what I did. I did a lot of that. And also the latter, which is to see that that we may learn that anger is a weapon we can use to keep people from hurting us by hurting them first. I didn't realize I was doing that, but actually I have done that my whole life, right? The latter resulted in using our anger to distance ourselves from others and or becoming abusers ourselves. I never became an abuser, thank God. I was a little bit of a bully when I was a teen, but nothing too serious. Not that type of serious bullying, but just, you know, I was kind of pushy and shoved. You know, I kept people at a distance when I was in my teens because I was just being abused my whole life, and I was just like, I'm not going to be abused outside my home, so I'm going to be the tough one. If anybody wants to be in my life, they're either going to have to deal with it, or they're going to have to stay away from me because I can't take any more, you know. And I was just like, I couldn't help what was going on in my home. Outside of my home, I seriously didn't want to take any more abuse from people. Later on in life, I mean, I've obviously done that. Used anger to distance myself from others and you know, pushing people away. It's like, you know, I'm going to push you out first which I end up hurting people doing that, right? Pushing people away before they have a chance to hurt me. And I've done that throughout my adult life, not necessarily hurting them, but just being rude or pushing them out and saying goodbye really quickly. You're not in my life. And even though they may have not, I may have been able to work out something in the relationship because I have a problem with anger. So this is why I did a whole lot of work on anger, because it was a real problem for me. And, you know, I wasn't able to show any emotion as a child, just discussing like my own problems of dealing with being abused as a child from birth, right, from zero up. So many times abusers, when they're allowed to show their emotions, you know, beating the children or verbally assaulting the children or psychologically abusing children, their own children or whatever. And, you know, they could do it. But then when the child shows any emotion, then they abuse them some more. And that was my case. You know, I wasn't allowed to show any emotion. None of us were. We weren't allowed to show emotions. We weren't allowed to be angry. We weren't allowed to be upset at what was going on in the home. You know, we weren't. My mother was, like, determined that she was not going to allow any of her children to have anything to say about what was going on in the home. So, in other words, I was not allowed to cry. I was not allowed to feel anything. So when I was beaten, I was not allowed to cry, because then if I cried, I was beaten some more until I stopped crying. So what that did was cause me to shut things down inside. I was never allowed to feel anything. So that way I could take the beating without crying, right? And then what that caused was a lot of internal rage and anger and hatred and a lot of horrible, horrible stuff that eventually I knew was going to need to come out, right? And then the verbal battering. You know, I wasn't allowed to stick up for myself. I wasn't allowed to stand up for myself. So this is the issue, you know. I wasn't even allowed to cry or get upset. Or when I did, I'd be beaten for it. So or stuff thrown at me. My mom would throw stuff at me. This is just how she operated the house, because she did not want to take responsibility for what was going on there on her part. And she didn't want any of her children having any say about it. It was like, this is the way our house is. This is the way it's going to be. And this is, and since I pound you down into the ground and beat you half to death, you all know how serious I am, so you're going to do what I say, right? And this, so we were all under our parents' thumbs big time. And it was a real problem. So yeah, I stuffed it. I stuffed all of the emotions, all of the anger, the rage, all of that stuff. I just stuffed it. As a teen, I did drugs to keep it masked, you know. I smoked a lot of pot and did a lot of drugs as a teen, starting at 12 all the way through 21. And just to mask it, mask the pain, and not only that, but to mask the anger, to mask I wouldn't even call it frustration, just the rage mainly, and not being able to ever express what I needed to express. And then it became dangerous behavior, because my life was already really dangerous in my home, so then I just, you know, all that rage and that anger and the stuffing, all that stuff, and the drug use, then I just used to kind of engage in very dangerous behavior, you know, hurt myself or whatever. I ended up hurting people that I loved, car accidents and things like this. and friends and things. You know, it's horrific, right? And that became an outlet. You know, as a young adult, after I got off the drugs, I stuffed the anger anyway. And unless I blew up, you know, like once in a while there'd be something that would come up and I'd blow up. And then whoever happened to be there and be a recipient of that, you know, it's kind of like, well, you're toast, because, you know, whether this whole thing now is going to come out on that one person. So it was really horrific. I did a lot of self-sabotage, quitting jobs, just, you know, not able to deal with anything. Quitting relationships, quitting jobs. You know, I did that for years. And always with a reason, you know, and always could back it up, you know, and say, well, no, I did that for a reason, and, you know, have some sort of validation for it. But actually, it was mainly self-sabotage. Desire to self-injure, I've had that. There's a desire to self-injure for a long, long time. And desire to be, well, suicidal, actually. Suicidal ideation, had a lot of problems with that until the age of 41, when I actually was going to commit suicide. Unable to cope, you know. I knew this rage and all this anger and this hatred and this pain and this horror from being abused needed to come out at some point. And at age 41, really, 41 and a half, I always say 42, but it was right around 41 and a half, it blew. But it didn't blow out. It imploded in. So I was unable to handle it. And I couldn't, I didn't want to hurt anybody else. And I thought, you know, I'm already dead anyway. I've been dead since I was like 10 years, 8 years old, I want to say, really. Between At 10 years old, I realized I wanted to be dead. But 8 years old, I'm pretty sure I was killed and murdered by the CSA child sexual abuse. And so, you know, I was just like, I'm dead anyway. I mean, what, you know, why am I suffering along in this pain? You know, unable to cope, right? It was absolutely horrific what this did to me. And that's why my siblings, you know, they have no business being around me at all. They weren't there to help me. And they were abused too. I don't care, you know. I was the youngest. I was a baby, you know. They didn't do anything to try to help me out. And I always stuck up for them. I got beatings for it, but I always stuck up for my siblings. They never stuck up for me. Actually, they got me in a lot of trouble. So, do I owe them anything? Absolutely not. No. And do I owe myself something? Absolutely, yes. I owed myself a chance at a good life, which meant getting help, you know. This was so serious, this stuff. It's just not even funny. Yeah, I started reaching out at the age of, like, 42 after I started my healing journey. Didn't do much work on it until the age of 44. So, I mean, that's like, well, since 2009, right? So it's been about 8 years, really, since I've been working. I say 10 years on my healing journey, but I didn't do any real work until about 8 years ago. Started working on this stuff because it was so, I didn't realize how screwed up I was. I knew I was really screwed up. People wanted to kill myself my whole life. I was like, there's a problem there. You know, obviously there's a serious problem here. But I didn't realize the depth until I started doing the work. And but I'm glad that I started reaching out. That's why I do these shows, actually, not just for me. They do help me out, but for other people too, to tell you that you did not deserve that. Nobody does, right? Reach out and get some help. Don't struggle on your own and allow this stuff to take you down. Like, we've already been through enough, right? This is where my mind went, right? I was like, well, I've already suffered enough, and, you know, and been through enough, and you know, why should I allow myself to be taken out by this? You know, I need to get help, right? That was my mentality, which was a smart thinking, really. You know, I mean, it's like, why should I suffer more? I mean, I need to get help. So I'm so glad I started reaching out. That's why I tell people, reach out. You know, whether it's anonymous work, which I did, or, you know, a counselor, a therapist, whatever. I've had lots of survivor friends tell me that they've had good counselors. I know that there's some out there and some good therapists out there. There's good people out there. You just have to make sure you get your needs met. So we'll pick up the rest of this article on Friday. Actually, we'll look at some more of it. But this is really, you know, this stuff is really hard for people to deal with, especially if for survivors, you know, who stuff the abuse, and then it causes a lot of serious problems internally, right? So, but they go on to, there's a big section. So we'll pick the, you know, more of this up. It's a pretty lengthy article. We'll pick more of this up on Friday. So next up, what do we want to look at here? Positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk, looking at positives and progress, just instead of just looking at the negative all the time. Well, actually, I'm doing good. I'm still on my healing journey. That's great. I can say that's positive. I got up this morning. That's good. It's Monday morning, and it's my holiday. I could have slept in, but no, I'm up. I'm doing it, and this is good. Facing things, getting things done. And, you know, I actually got on my rower. I was talking a few shows back that I have a rower. I got it like 2 years ago, and it's all dusty. It's got dust on it. It sits right in front of me so that I'll get on it, but I never get on it. It's really dusty. So I dusted it off, and I actually got on it, did some rowing last week, so that's good. So I was very happy about that. So that's an accomplishment. I only did about 10 minutes because I'm really out of shape, but I'm like, hey, that's you got to start slow. You got to start slow, right? That's my mentality because I don't want to hurt myself. I'm old and I'm out of shape. So, you know, I was glad that I did that. See, these things are very important, right? I mean, it may take a while, but as long as we stay on it, right, it doesn't happen overnight. None of this stuff happens overnight. It takes a long, long time a lot of times to get through this stuff and to do these things, right? But it's very important to do them. So I think that's a positive. You know, I got on my rower, which was great. And I want to look at Havoka's positive self-talk here. We've only got a few minutes left. We'll just pick up the first section of this, and then we'll pick up the rest of this on Friday. Positive self-talk is similar to an affirmation, yet a step beyond affirmations. Positive self-talk is an extended affirmation, longer than a sentence, perhaps a paragraph, maybe a page long. It is purposefully, this is also from Havoka, right? It is purposefully interjecting and rehearsing positive information in the flow of our mind talk. So the person who wrote this says, I have included some written examples. However, positive self-talk is more like an intuitive, deliberate, and seriously positive conversation one has with their own self. It is deliberate, forcefully repetitive, seriously positive. And the most important rule in practicing positive self-talk is that everything must be strongly positive. It is forcefully feeding the mind a constant flow of positive words, phrases, ideas, attitudes, and beliefs for as long as you can keep it up. So they said, do this while driving to work, waiting for a bus, waiting for an appointment. Do it for half an hour right after a morning prayer or meditation. So instead of reading something written, try calling on your own inner source and intuition for positive thinking. Just start producing positive words, phrases, sentences in your mind. And that's great. I think that's awesome. They said, to get started, keep presenting your mind with the task of creating a positive word, phrase, or sentence. And hold this task in front of your mind every second. Every second, keep telling your mind to produce positive and let it fill the blank. And let it fill in the blank. So produce positive whatever, energy, produce positive thoughts, produce positive thinking, whatever. If the response is anything but positive, then your mind didn't answer the task. Instantly present the task again, without even the smallest thought of the previous response. And once the process gets going, watch your natural intuition for positive thinking take off on a theme of some kind of spiritual theme, a financial theme, relationship theme. Go with it. Keep soliciting strong positive information about anything. So that's really awesome. And we'll come back to this article as well. It's really just it's another little piece of it, and that's it. We'll pick that up on Friday as well. We'll look at the rest of that Friday. And Avoca self-esteem. This is why I did this whole thing, is I wanted to start getting it, do some more affirmations, because I think they're good to look at, because you can make you think, right? So we'll pick those up on, we have about a minute left here. We'll pick those up on Friday as well. We'll start that. What I want to do is a brainy quote. I love brainy quote. Brainy quote's awesome. And we'll have to do some containment work and all that. If you need containment work and coping mechanisms, go to irvingstudios.com. Just type into your browser Child Abuse Survivor Monument. It'll come up. And look under his Survivor tab, Help for Survivors. He's got coping mechanism stuff there. It's really useful, very helpful. And we'll spend a little bit too long on the other article there, but we'll look at some of that next week too. Actually this week on Friday. So brainy quote. Okay, how about this one from Muhammad Ali? I know where I'm going, and I know the truth, and I don't have to be what you want me to be. I'm free to be what I want. That's awesome. And how about this one from Buddha? What we think, we become. That's right. So, I wish you a wonderful day. I wish you a wonderful week. I hope your week goes well. If you're struggling, you're having a hard time coping, like I say on all my shows, make sure you reach out and get some help. Do not suffer on your own. You know, reach out. Get some help. Even if it's calling a crisis line, I don't care. Do whatever you have to do, but you stick it out. I want to see you back here on Friday with me. You so deserve so much more. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful week.